Okay, I would like to invite Pat A to speak to us today on what would God have me be? Thank you, and take it away, Pat.
Thanks, Cindy, and the rest of my friends who are here. Some I've known for a while and some I haven't. My name's Patrick Thomas Edward William Christopher Anthony Ambry. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a codependent. I'm a nicotine addict. I'm a sex addict. I'm a fearful man, abnormally fearful. And I have recovered through God's grace in these 12 steps. It's my daily application that keeps me alive. What would God have me be? What an incredible amount of hubris on my part, it seems, to think that I can speak about God. God. Check it. God. And God's not like that. You hear birds chirping, you hear water pouring, you hear your own breath going. That's all God too. In addition to all those precepts and the gods and Jesus, listen, save me over here, and you need to do things my way. I'm going to beat you if you don't go to summer camp, Sunday school. I eat your vegetables. How dare you not do that? Sit still and pray. Be like the rest. Be a good boy. You know, I cannot recover unless I know what God would have me be. I'm going to be bold here and say he wants us to be his kid. And he ain't a he, but that thing which is the all spark, the all father, the all knowing, the one that was here went, poof, let there be me. Let there be all of this. And he rolled the dice and out we came. DNA works. Our blood doesn't fall out of our body. All of this makes too much sense. So it was popular a few years ago to believe that God couldn't be involved. And a lot of us hung on that idea because it lets me believe that I'm the most important. I'm the only thing. And if I'm the only thing, so are you the only thing in this life. When we die, we go to dust, and that's all. So I can do whatever I want to here. Free, unconstrained, ridden by ego to you. I can do whatever I want because there is no backstop. There is no curbs on the side of the street. There's nothing to keep me from wreaking my will on you. And when I, Patrick, Pat, lived that way, there was hell paid. I was miserable. I was alone. I was lonely. I begged Satan to take me because I could do nothing else. And I didn't believe in Satan, not really, but I said the words and meant them. And then a tenth of a second later, what have I done? Let's see, what were we talking about? We were talking about something. What would he have me be? In our book, it says we never apologize for God. So I looked up what apologize was. Apologize is an intransitive verb, and it means to make excuse for or a regretful acknowledgement of a fault or offense. It's to make a formal defense or justification in speech or writing, to make such an apology or defense. And that's out of the American Heritage Dictionary of the English language. How can I defend that which is, which would be hubris, like unweaning, unwarranted pride of self? To describe God to you, to describe a relationship that is the consciousness of my connection provides me all the grace and dignity and power that I need. And without that, I've always been alone and afraid, and me, myself, and I. We never apologize for God. Instead, we let him demonstrate through us what he can do. Those prayers that we say, that third step prayer, stop me from the bondage of self, so that through that victory, you show up with power and dignity and love to the people that I want to help. What's he want me to be? We let him demonstrate through us what he can do. We ask him to remove our fear and direct our attention to what he would have us be. At once, we commence to outgrow fear. What a gift. Do you think that God wants us to be free of fear? If I was a God, I wouldn't want to create a bunch of robots that worship me the way that I said, because what's that? That's kind of like, and I don't mean to be gross, but that's like giving myself sexual pleasure. Nothing happens. In fact, it's kind of nasty after a while. Robots, no. Wouldn't it be nicer if I was to create a bunch of, I don't know, let them be. Let them be. Let them have free will. Okay. See how many come back home. That's a game I could imagine God playing. For he so loved us that he gave us the ability to choose and a way back from that choice. God, please direct my thinking. At once we commence to outgrow fear. Wow, what a powerful. Yeah. Any of you applied that? Do any of you get release from fear? Yes, we do. Excuse me, I got something to take care of. And that's how it works. We see that we get a phone call. We see that it annoys us. I know that it's a robocall. No doubt in my mind, because that's the only people that come in on that phone. Take action. But if I'm locked up, if I don't have partnership, if I don't have direction, if I don't have a father, a director, a principal, this is what I do. I am supposed to be free. Unlike that cat. The kitty wants in, the kitty wants out, the kitty, or maybe I'm exactly like that cat. In and out, and I don't know what's right, I don't know what's good, I just know what I want. The guy that gets everything that he wants doesn't want it anymore because it's not what he wanted. He wanted completeness, he wanted wholeness, he wanted love, he wanted it easy, he wanted it his way. He wanted all of that stuff. And when he gets it, it's simply not enough. It's this unrest. A body badly burnt by alcohol does not recover overnight. His mind, all those problems don't vanish in a twinkling. And I know I'm misquoting, but that's the general thing. What would he have me be? He'd have me be his kid. How do you become a child? Why would he have me be his? What makes me think that I would be a child of light? Well, because I let him demonstrate to me whenever I talk to God, talk to Jesus, talk to my friends, talk from my heart to this thing that I don't know, but I want to know. It gets easier. I can do what I need to do. And I don't want to listen to that cat for the next half hour.
Come on inside. You need to go out. Come on in. Go potty. Hurry up. Keep her waiting.
Give me courage. Give me the courage to do what I need to do today. I listen to Mother Teresa, some of her thoughts, and it's always, God help me be useful to you. Bill came in and changed people's lives. He changed my life because of what he wrote down. He was fearless in that. He got 100 editors or got one editor, and it came out that way. And I have a way forward that I can begin to set aside all those thoughts, all of those. What he had to say? He had some. He said, "We are sure God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free. Happy. How can I be happy as long as I'm thinking all these thoughts that plague me? I don't know, not enough, not. Oh, well, then maybe the thoughts have got to go. Joyous? Well, if you were weighed down by all these things, you had all this money to deal with, to take care of, and you had this health, and you had this, all those thoughts. And free. Oh, I can't do that. I don't know how. I'm not good enough. I'm not big enough. I'm not old enough. I'm not enough." All those thoughts. We are sure God wants us to be happy and joyous and free. We cannot subscribe, buy into the belief that this life is a veil of tears, that life is a veil of tears. I don't see the sparrows out there whining about it. I don't hear the cats out there whining about it, that it's a veil of tears. No, they just go out, they catch the mouse. Now they may have a more limited intellect than I do. Oh, back to the thoughts again. My thoughts separate me from that which is. So what would he have me be? He'd have me be free of the thinking that is getting in my way of connecting to life as it is, of being in the sunlight, of acknowledging and saying thanks. Thanks. This life is not a veil of tears, although it once was just that for many of us. But it's clear. It is quite clear. Anybody who's been through the steps and has examined themselves has been forced into a program of action to look at the consequences of my actions and inactions. They're both the same. Action, inaction leaves me where I am. My motives has always been to satisfy self. Self will never be satisfied because I get what I want and I don't want it anymore because I get tired of it and I need something else. Satisfaction is not in there. It's momentary satiation. I don't know the word sufficiency. It is clear that we make our own misery. Now, what is misery? Well, I think I could look it up here for us real quick. We make our own misery. MISERY. Go look it up. 1950 American psychological thriller, Misery Defined. How about misery out of, oh, let's just define. There are so many titles to misery that they can't even find a definition because they've got so much other stuff going on in front of it, like the words that I had looked up to apologize. The state of suffering, a state of suffering and want as a result of physical circumstances, extreme poverty, that's the trigger. And what they say is mental or emotional unhappiness or distress. And it is a cause or source of suffering. That comes out of the American Language Dictionary. A cause or source of suffering, misery causes suffering. Suffering is I fall down, I skin my knee. Ow! I said something. Oh, I didn't mean to say that. And I'm embarrassed. Oh. Why did I say that? What did I do? Oh my God. Oh, I said that. My God, I said that. Oh, what will I do? Misery. is a repeated source of suffering. A skinned knee is different than picking off the scab and picking off the scab and picking off the scab and picking off the scab. What fool does that with a scab on his face? Knee, elbow. Oh, really? How do I do that? Misery. Misery is optional. We make our own misery. God didn't do it. Avoid then the deliberate manufacture of misery. Oh, this is terrible. Wait a second, slow down. But if trouble comes, cheerfully capitalize it as an opportunity to demonstrate his omnipotence. God, demonstrate through me your love, your way of life, your power to the guy that can't understand that he's been creating his own misery. The central fact of my life today is that God is in it. I have a connection. The consciousness, capital word, consciousness, that thing which went, let all this be. The consciousness of my belief has come. Sure to come to you. These guys wrote it down, and it's what happens when we follow this course of action. We give up our fear of losing ourselves, because being the hole in the donut. Okay, I agree. I don't know what to do, but I'm going to do it. Help me clear my mind, God. Help me know to say that I am afraid. Help me ask for your help. Help me help somebody else. Help me get out of myself. Help me go down there, down the street. Let me have plans to go fix that for somebody. Let me take this phone call. Help me be merciful like you've been merciful to me, because I certainly didn't believe I was worthy of it. But on day four, sitting in a jail cell, I realized that I was no longer captured by alcohol. It had been lifted from me. I'd gone through the DTs and I was done with alcohol, but could I stay away from it? And it became, God, help me. Ah, please. And then I realized, God, please heal me. Heal me. Heal me, please. So I went to a few AA meetings, and I went to a whole bunch of AA meetings in 90 days and came back with a pile of paper, set it in front of the judge. And he looked straight through me and asked my wife, has he changed? I thought, oh, you better lie, bitch. You better lie, because I don't want to go to jail. Dishonest motives. I figured I could buy my way out of it. Me, myself, and I were going to take care of this business, and I'd be able to continue on with my life happily. Well, she did buy it. She did tell him that I was cured. So I suffered for another dozen years. And I brought misery to everybody else who was around me, because if I'm suffering, everybody's going to suffer. The kid at the 7-Eleven store has got no free pass. I'm vicious. I'm angry. I'm upset. I'm not right. It ain't good enough. Self. Only after I started examining myself. An unexamined life is hardly worth living, is what I've heard. So what do I do to examine myself? If I'm miserable, how do I change that? I can cheerfully capitalize it as an opportunity to demonstrate his omnipotence. That's what that third step prayer that's so hard for us to take in. That's what that's all about. And that seventh step prayer, my creator, that which is. I humbly ask you to have all of me, the bad and the good. Do with me whatever you want. Give me strength so that I can do your will. What does God want of us? He wants us to be his kids. If I am his kid, if I am his child, if I am a child of the light, I sign on to the fact that God loves me. So if he loves me, he loves you. But what about? Well, yeah, that's true. There are those things. He rolled the dice, let us be. DNA works. So does AIDS, so does cancer, all of those things that we have. Maybe what I think about God is not what he thinks. Maybe human fleshy form, 70 years, is not all there is to Pat. Maybe the thing that inhabits the light behind these eyes, maybe that is greater than Pat. Maybe that one goes along. The vibrations in the universe coming through here and intersecting this planet, and then all of a sudden I show up and here I am, and I learn what I learn, and I don't learn what I learn, and I am happy or I'm sad or I'm thinking or I'm not, and that's all of me. And then I pass on. Maybe there's an I that passes on. That's my logic. My faith has changed. I believe that there is a man that came down here as a god and nailed himself to a cross and was separated from his father. Why have you deserted me? Then he died. And all that stuff was promised. You could read it in a book that has been verified to be shown up as this is the facts. The Jews think they wrote it down this way, and that's how it reads today. And 2,000 years ago, a bunch of people buried some scrolls on animal paper and papyrus, and they said the same words that the Jews said had been recorded 4,000 years before. And they point to things that are historical fact. So who am I to disbelieve? I don't know. God, show me your truth. When I start acting the way that I could,
Pat, you have a
going
couple
back without
minutes.
prejudice. Yeah, thank you, love. Five, four, three. I don't know. Maybe I can trust. Who would he have me be? His kid. How am I wearing my crown? If he is the ruler of the universe and I have access to power beyond which I can even comprehend, who should I be? Happy, joyous, free? That's the beginning, but that's a state of mind. I don't know how he will use me. I do know that things are set up that way. When I acknowledge and surrender, amazing things happen. I get up, I go let the cat in, and the cat stays with me. He's got to go to the bathroom in the house rather than outside in the yard. Thanks God for the little favors. I contributed to that cat's welfare by getting up and opening the door so that he wouldn't poop in the yard. I like that. Thanks God. Or I could be miserable and say, oh, yeah, I gotta get up again. Oh, bad. I hate these cats. What's my choice to be? Ah, we're convinced that a spiritual mode of living is the most powerful health restorative. We who have recovered from serious drinking are miracles of mental health. We've seen remarkable transformations in our bodies. Hardly any one of us now shows marks of dissipation. God has abundantly supplied this world with fine doctors, psychologists, and practitioners of various kinds. Don't hesitate to take your problems to them. I mean, if I have a chemical imbalance in my brain, go to somebody that knows about chemical imbalances in brains and let them play with my head till it feels good, till I'm no longer depressed and angry and lonely and afraid, so that I can have a connection with this power that I love, that I love. Remember that though God has wrought miracles among us, we participated. It's our participation that matters. I want to be a prodigal son returned. I want to be here and happy and joyous. I want to have fun. I don't want to be out gnashing my teeth in the darkness. That's a choice that I have today. Simply a choice. I think God wants us to choose Him because it goes better that way. It just goes better. And each one of us have the right, have the responsibility, and have the freedom to make that choice or not. Avoid then the deliberate manufacture of misery. Come rejoice with us. You'll find us on almost every street corner, and there'll be somebody around where the lights are on. Thank you, guys. Sally, thanks.